Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today my guest is, he's a golf professional. And so he's outside a lot, as you can imagine. And he is no stranger to Lyme disease. That is for sure. He has had it a couple of times. And so he's going to kind of touch on his first two times dealing with Lyme disease and how they were pretty easy peasy. And then, boy, did the third one get him. So I'm excited to have him on and share all the stuff and share his journey, and just so happy that he's conquered it for the third time as well. So, Bob Doria, welcome to the show.
Great to see you, Tanya. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So as I just mentioned, you know, you're no stranger to Lyme. You're very familiar with it. And I know a lot of times, or I guess I can't speak for everyone, but for me, when they said Lyme disease, I thought, well, I'm not a dog. What, are you telling me I have a dog disease? I mean, that's how uneducated I was. So many people are not even familiar with what it is. And so you had a couple easy bouts, right? If we can even use easy and Lyme in the same sentence.
Well, compared to the one that kind of put me on the shelf for a while. Yeah, the first two times were basically didn't feel well, was lethargic, went to go see my primary. They ran the normal tests that they normally run, showed up positive. First time they gave me Cipro, which I know they don't give anymore. And my side effect to the Cipro was getting nauseous all the time. They did that for 21 days, got rid of all the symptoms, never kind of like, okay, I'm good. And then came back again, middle of the summer, and got it again. But my symptoms would usually be I get tremors and I twitch. And that was usually my indicator that, hey, something's not right. I need to go get tested. I have a very good working relationship with my primary physician. Usually if I walk in and say, can you run this test? She doesn't even question. She just does what I ask her to do. So she ran the blood test and came back positive. She's like, yep, we're going to give you 21 days of doxy. So the second time went away. All the symptoms went away.
All right. Well, so now between the first and the second, do you actually think you got reinfected or it just reared its head again? We probably don't know, right?
I don't think I got reinfected. At no time did I ever have a bullseye, have a mark where, oh, hey, I got bit. I think that it was latent in my system and stress or whatever caused it to reactivate. And, you know, I may have been run down or whatever and it attacked.
Right. So, because as we know, just 21 days is not usually our ticket, right?
Yeah, that's just the doctor putting a Band-Aid on it. But in hindsight, they don't know, because she admits to me, she goes, Bob, I'll tell you, I probably got 3 hours on Lyme disease as a doctor. So she goes, I'm just going by whatever protocols they say. If these things happen, do this.
Right.
So the third time was in the summer of 2020. So we're coming out of COVID. I'm on top of being a golf professional, I am the general manager of the country club. So I'm trying to get the place operational during COVID. So golf was one of the few things you could do when everything else was shut down.
Oh, that's right. Right. Cause it's outside.
It's outside. So there's every state's got different recs. So I'm trying to figure out my way around the recs to get my members so they could play golf and just operate. That probably put a lot of stress on my immune system. Middle of June, I start twitching. I start having issues of drop foot. I'm in excruciating pain in all my joints to the point where I was struggling to walk and I was taking Advil like M&Ms because I couldn't get the pain to stop. It got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go see my doctor. And she runs the normal two tests that they all run and they come back negative. And she's like, yeah, but these symptoms aren't good. So her thing was to send me to a neurologist. I live outside of Philadelphia, about 25 minutes outside of the city of Philly. So I'm also very lucky as it's a private golf club. We have a lot of doctors. One of the doctors is the head of neurology for Jefferson Hospital in Philly. I mentioned to him what was going on because I couldn't get an appointment for 3 to 4 months. And he goes, "No problem. You call my office." He goes, "I'll get you in." So 4 days later, I went in to go meet with one of his doctors. And they
Nice to have
rang.
friends in good places,
Yeah,
right?
because everybody that I talk to, they're like, "Well, they tell me, I need to go see them, but it's 3 and 4 months out." And I'm like,
Yeah,
they
we
go,
don't
"What do
have that much time to
you?"
wait. Yeah.
Yeah. So they go, he goes, 4 days later, I'm down having an EMG test done. Anybody who's ever had an EMG test, it is its own form of torture. My wife got to watch me being shocked and everything else. And I've had it done once before. And I kind of like, when they first did it, I'm first did the beginning of the test, I'm like, "Oh, this isn't so bad. You haven't had to stick any needles in me." She goes, "Oh, no, we haven't gotten there yet." I'm like, "Yeah, great." They stuck needles throughout my body. They stuck them in my head. They stuck them in my tongue.
Wow, and this is called an EMG.
EMG test. And it's
Okay.
basically to determine where the nerves are not getting proper signal, causing the twitching.
Okay.
So, the best way to describe it's like a circuit on an electrical circuit. So when you flick the light on, the light goes on, right? So it completes the circuit, the light goes on. So what was happening here is that my brain would tell my arm to move, and the signal from my brain would get disrupted going to my arm. So my arm would twitch and shake. I had one
Okay.
episode with my wife where I was on the floor of our kitchen where both legs went basically spastic, where the muscles contracted and wouldn't release for 20 minutes. It was excruciating pain. And she's looking at me going, "You're not eating enough bananas. You're
Here's a
dehydrating. Yeah, you're not eating enough
banana.
bananas." Little did we know that that was one of the symptoms of what was going on. So they run the EMG test, and on August of 2020, I get a phone call because they're not seeing patients in office, and I get a phone call that basically is telling me, "We believe you have the beginning stages of ALS." So that's where my journey started.
Wow.
So
And so did you, okay, so I'm gonna back up just a second. So you go to your trusted primary that had picked it up, Lyme up the first couple of times, and then you go back the third time and they're not picking up Lyme. So you have all this neurological stuff, they do this test. Did it ever cross your mind or your doctor's mind that this might just still be Lyme disease, or it was just such a dramatic difference between your first set of symptoms versus the severity
The
of it the
severity
third time?
of the third time was dramatic. It was the excruciating pain, the inability to walk, the spasms.
So
So
that is not anything anybody wants to hear. You have the start
well,
of
I mean,
ALS, right?
well, you basically your life stops because it wasn't a sitting with the doctor and being told, it was a phone call. And it's like, and I get the phone call, and now I have to tell my wife, it's like, "Okay, I heard from the doctor. This is what I was just told." It were it, so you, in our case, once again, knowing the head of neurology, it takes months to see an ALS specialist. For this was Thursday. By Tuesday, I was in seeing the ALS specialist.
You got some great friends there, Bob.
Yeah, it helps. It helps. So of course you have 4 days of your life that is basically turned upside down, where you do your a little bit of research and realize you may not be here that long.
So, just for the listeners out there, can you give just a brief description of what is ALS, right? Like, what are the kind of the main symptoms? I know that you have kind of a short span of time left. Lou Gehrig's,
Lou Gehrig's disease, it's basically a wasting of the muscles, and it's a neurological disease where it basically it stops sending signals to your muscles, so your muscles atrophy and die. Fortunately or unfortunately, your brain is still operating. So you know everything that's going on, and basically you're in a shell that will not move.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Knowing full well that that's what I may end up being
That's your
is
life now.
that's
Yeah.
your life,
Yeah.
right? So, four really bad days is probably the only way to describe. A lot of crying, a lot of hand-wringing. We go down, and my wife and I made the comment, whatever we find out from them, we will play the cards we're dealt, we'll figure this out. So we go down, they do a what's called an ALFSRS test, and basically what you can and cannot do. And it's
Okay.
rated as from a score of 0 to 48. 48 means you don't have any physical issues, that everything's fine. Zero means you're dead. So the first time they tested me, they gave me this test. I scored 43 because I couldn't walk a straight line. I would fall. I'd trip. I was slurring my words. I had brain fog. I lost spatial awareness. If I went to walk through a doorway, I'd walk into the doorway. So there were all these things that were happening. I would get severe muscle spasms to the point I'd be on my knees because the pain would be so bad. So that was in August of 2020. I went back. They wanted to see me in 3 months, so I went back in like December. They retested me again. I was a little worse. I was like 41, so I was getting worse. And then that time they basically said, well, we can give you the one drug that they use that will extend your lifespan by about 6 months. Well, improve your quality of life. It'll just extend your lifespan. And I'm like, I don't want that. I said, we're going to play out what we got, and we'll figure it out. But we both were kind of like talking about it. It's kind of like, and I said, I've had Lyme. Let's start ruling things out. And my wife had a friend whose husband, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. She remembered her, got a hold of the doctor. She was a Lyme literate doctor up in West Caldwell, New Jersey. So we made an appointment to go up and see her. And like anything else, the Lyme is not recognized by the insurance companies.
Right.
So it was all, it was,
But your ALS drug would have been,
oh,
right?
yeah, of course. Course. I went to see her. She spent 4 hours with me and gave me all sorts of evaluations. They took 31 vials of blood
Wow.
and sent it to, they used Igenix,
Okay.
is who they used. So they used Igenix, sent it out there, did some other testing, did some physical testing of me. And, I'm doing things, and she goes, that's not ALS, that's Lyme, like the neurological stuff that was happening, where I couldn't walk a straight line. I'd walk into doorways. I'd fall. If I was walking down a hallway, I'd walk into the sidewalls because I had no reference points. So I had brain fog that bad. I had spasms going on throughout my body. So, April of 2021, tests come back. She goes, come on up, let's go. I want to talk to you. And she goes, here's the deal. She goes, you are absolutely filthy for Lyme. You have Bartonella, you have three other forms of Lyme, you have five other co-infections. She goes, your body's literally shutting itself off. She goes, you're so polluted, it's not funny. I said, okay. It's the only time in your life that you're ever like, I got Lyme. That's a good thing. Right?
Right.
So we walked
So
out of there. So now we went from having really no. You're playing a losing
hope,
hand.
no
You
hope. Yeah.
you're playing a losing hand. Any poker players out there, you got a 2-7. You don't have too many chances. We got lucky from the standpoint of my wife remembered her friend. She remembered the doctor, and that's how the process started. We got lucky in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you sure did. You sure
So she
did.
came up with a protocol. The only problem is she was 2.5 hours away. So I needed to find someone closer to me that could do the protocol.
So, Bob, sorry, I'm going to stop you again.
Cool.
So, when you got this Lyme disease, right? You're just riddled with Lyme. Did you immediately think, okay, I absolutely do not have ALS. I have Lyme disease. Was there like not
Yes.
a shadow of a doubt in your mind and you just ran with that?
That's what we ran with because the Lyme disease, you have hope. The ALS, I got no hope.
So whether you truly believed it in your subconscious mind or not, right? Like there was
Yeah.
no hope with ALS, but there's hope with Lyme. I love that thinking of it, right?
Right. Well, you're once again, if you're trying to play against a no-win situation, I'm like, okay, I've got credible evidence that this is what's going on. Now, the other thing that she brought up is they did MRIs of my spine. Being a golf professional, my spine's a disaster area. I have back problems, neck problems, and whatever. She goes, the ALS doctors didn't really think that that was a problem. That me having all this damage to my spine and the nerves around my spine was an issue. And she's like, she goes, you have Lyme. You have so much back issues with your back. She goes, that's number two. She goes, ALS is probably number three on what I think may be happening. I said, okay.
All right,
Said,
there's our
great. So
answer.
then she came up with a protocol. And once again, 2.5 hours away, she was a very good diagnostician, is the right word for her. Crazy. You know,
Okay.
very eccentric, very, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, the second opinion. I want to see somebody else. I need to see somebody closer to where I live. So we found another center here, a wellness center that had a Lyme doctor. And it just so happened we went driving around trying to find the place and we found it. And on a lark, I had taken all my labs in my notebook and tossed them in the back of my car. We pull in, just trying to get an introduction, find out who the Lyme doctor is. And the woman's like, she just had a cancellation.
Are
That's
you a
right.
gambler?
Yes, I am.
I bet you do pretty well.
Yeah, so once again, we got lucky. She had a cancellation and she goes, yeah, but we don't have your labs. I go, well, guess
Matter
what?
of fact.
I have them, they're in my car.
Divine intervention, I
Yeah,
mean.
they're in my car. We sit down with her and she's like looking over everything. She goes, they knew each other. They didn't like each other. They know each other.
The
So
other
two
doctor that
Lyme
ran the
doctors.
labs. Okay,
Yeah, the
okay.
two Lyme doctors, they know each other, don't necessarily like one another, but they know
Okay.
each other. So I said, okay, what protocol would you come up with? And the difference was is that the other protocol very heavily went into a lot of oral antibiotics, a lot of things that would create herx responses. She said, well, I can do those things and I'm going to destroy your stomach, or I can do some of this stuff we can do with herbals. It'll take a little longer, but you're not going to get as messed up.
Okay. And so now that, you've had a couple of bouts previously with antibiotics. I mean, that's what we're used to. I mean, I grew up, we get sick, parents take you to the doctor, you take antibiotics, you get better and you go about your life. And so when that system failed me for 7 years, I had to seek outside to this integrative health, holistic health, or
Right.
whatever, right? And it was like, whoa, what is this? But I had no hope with those 7 years that I lost with no diagnosis, right? So I
Right.
had hope with this. What was your mindset like? Were you at all familiar with herbals or tinctures or anything like that? Because, and the reason I ask is because I know that there's a lot of listeners out there that are just dead set on traditional Western medicine, right? Because all the other stuff, the kinesiology, the muscle testing, these tinctures, it's very different, right? It's not what we're used to, most of us, right? And so they have a really hard time trying to make that switch or conversion or integrate both of them. And so I just wanted to know your thoughts on when they said herbals and stuff.
In my case, I'll give you a good example. My mother is 90 years old. Okay.
Okay.
My mom is still very much with the program. She has been taking vitamins and supplements since she was 30 years old.
Okay. All
Okay.
right. So you're a
If
little more
you,
open into this world.
yeah.
Yes.
So if you ever met her, you would never realize this woman is 90 years old.
Wow. Amazing.
Okay. At 84 years old, she was having knee replacement surgery. And the orthopedic was talking to me and my brother, and he asking her, what are you looking forward to doing once you have your knee done? She goes, play tennis. And he looked at us. I go, no, she's totally serious. She's been playing tennis and she's 84. And she still goes to the gym. She was doing spinning classes.
Speaks volumes.
Right. So, but she's always done the vitamins since she was in her 30s. So for me to go and say, the doctor say, well, you're going to take herbals and this, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm
Okay.
on board. And then I'm very lucky, my primary, once we found out it was Lyme, she felt horrible, but she goes, this whole journey that I'm going through and had gone through, I've been keeping her in the loop. So I give her all copies of the test because she wouldn't get them otherwise. And I explain the test to her. And she goes, it's going to keep me from possibly sending somebody down the wrong path. So
Yes. Yeah.
we're paying it forward that way.
Good for
So,
you for doing that because you can't, I mean, some doctors we absolutely can judge because they gaslight us, period. But there are a lot of good practitioners out there that simply don't have the tools in their toolbox. They didn't, like she said, they didn't learn. We can't judge those doctors, right? They just don't have the tools in their toolbox. So you were shedding some knowledge for her to possibly save the next patient that might be dealing with this.
And in that case, because I was seeing an integrative medicine practice, they can run tests because I'm paying for them that she can't run.
Right.
And her comment was, is I can't run these tests because the insurance companies won't pay for it. You're willing to pay for them. And she goes, I'm getting so much better. I get so much better information on things that are going on with your body than I would otherwise, where I'm kind
Right.
of limited to what I see. She goes, I'm basically looking through a very narrow scope. When you go have all these tests run, because your integrative medicine doctor asks for these tests to be run and you pay for them, she goes, it's a bigger picture. I can see more
Yeah,
of what's going on. So
exactly.
it helps both of them. Going back, as I said, my mom so takes supplements for years, never been an issue for us. As a matter of fact, she usually was pounding on me, I should be taking this and should be taking that. So whatever. So I met with the doctors down here. She looked at the protocol, said, the only thing I really don't agree with is all the heavy antibiotics. She goes, it's really going to destroy your stomach. But we did do something called, we did Rocephin. She goes, I do agree with you getting IV Rocephin. But we need to do some preliminary stuff in order to make sure it's going to work properly. So they gave me 2 weeks of oral antibiotics, high dose oral antibiotics. And they gave me something called serrapeptase, which was a biofilm buster. And she goes, you will get sicker for the next 2 weeks. And I definitely got sicker. I got to the point where I couldn't walk five steps without being in excruciating pain. Couldn't climb stairs. It got bad. So, it's like she's like, trust the process. It's going to be bad for 2 weeks. So it's basically the serrapeptase was breaking up all the little parts that were in my body to get it in my bloodstream. So it's
All
going
the
everywhere.
biofilms and then the pathogens can come out. Yep.
Yeah, so it's breaking up all the biofilms. So then they started giving me IV Rocephin. So 5 days a week, I would go in and they would give me IV Rocephin. So I did it with a temporary line in my arm.
Okay.
So because they said, well, we can do a PICC line, we could get a port. And I said, well, give me other options because what I do. I said, it's going to be a little tough for me because I'm outside and whatever. So we did a temporary line where I would go in on a Monday. They would put it in my arm. They put it in my arm, give me the IV, leave all the needles in my arm, tape my arm up.
Okay.
I come back Tuesday. So they do it Monday through Thursday. And then on Thursday, they take the needle out. I did that for 6 weeks.
Okay.
So,
On top of,
the oral antibiotics.
okay, so you're doing the IV
I'm
antibiotics.
doing IV antibiotics. I'm doing two different types of oral antibiotics. I'm doing serrapeptase. I'd have to go back and look at the protocol at the time I was doing it. I was doing high doses of vitamin D.
D, okay.
Vitamin D. I was doing NAC
Okay.
and high doses of glutathione.
Okay.
to just help my immune system as much as
Okay.
possible. We did 6 weeks of the IV Herceptin. After the second week, the nurses at the center said to me, they go, "You're getting better." I go, "Yeah, I am. The pain's going away." She
Okay.
goes, "You're walking without le with less problems." So what we had found out is that the myelin on my nerves was being stripped away by the Lyme. And that's what was creating all the excruciating pain, specifically
Okay.
in my joints and my ankles and in my knees and my arms. And that's what was creating every movement was painful. So as they were dumped the Herceptin into me, I started getting better. I started being able to walk better. The brain fog cleared. I started being able to walk a straight line. I wasn't walking into walls. I was starting to get my functions, my neurological functions were starting to come back
Within just a couple of weeks.
within 2 weeks of me having the IV Herceptin. So we got to the end of week three, and she goes, "Okay, we're going to test you." And she's like, "Yep, still dirty. So we're going to give you another, we're doing another 3 weeks of IVs." So we did another 3 weeks of IVs. During that time, they also tested me for heavy metal. And I ended up being toxic for benzene. I was like
Oh.
off the scale to toxic for benzene. She goes, "Okay, we're going to finish doing all the IV Herceptin, and then we're going to do 4 weeks of it was called phenylbutyrate, and they called it PK/PB protocol. And what they would do is they would it was designed to flush out all the contaminants out of my bloodstream. So on top of the taking the benzene, it took some of the lime.
Okay.
That made me physically ill.
The benzene did.
Well, the PKPB protocol. The IV Herceptin would give me a dull headache that usually went away in 2 hours. So I could kind of like work my way through that. But the first time I went and had the PKPB protocol, I'm thinking, well, I'll go to work, I'll be fine. About 20 minutes at work, I'm like calling my wife. I said, "You need to come get me." Because I'm like,
Wow. Okay. So did it, what did it do? Just exasperate all your original symptoms.
it just basically, it was like getting hit by a freight train. My
Okay.
body just went, it just sh completely shut down. I couldn't function. I couldn't physically function. So,
And where was your mindset now? Was it on what am I doing? What you're making me worse? Or was it, did you just know, okay, I need to get this benzene out of my body. This is what I need to do, and I'll get through it.
fight through it.
Okay.
Yeah, there
Because
was.
again, we're going back to you had ALS, you had zero hope. There was it, the end was going to come,
Right.
right? And
Yeah,
now it,
and I'm sitting in a room with other people going through stuff, and the nurses kept going to me, "It's nice to see somebody getting better," because there were a
yeah.
lot of cancer patients, and it's kind of like she goes, they come up to me, it's like it's nice to see somebody actually physically, obviously getting better. So, I'd go in, and I'm like, I always looked at it from the standpoint, yeah, I'm in there in a room with 16 other people, and some of the people are not in very good shape. And I said, "All I'm doing is getting better."
Yeah, and that was your reminder every day, and our mindset and our thoughts are so important.
Yeah, it's like I'm getting better every day, and whatever, we figure out the next thing to do, we do. And we take this next step. And we did that. And so after 6 weeks of got bounced here. Bear with
So
me.
the benzene, right? So we get like I had high levels of mercury. I had mercury poisoning off the charts. We never know what it's from, right? Do I eat too much seafood? My silver amalgams, whatever it is, right? So we fix that problem. So benzene, do you know anything about that? Is it something maybe that's in pesticides or something? You work in a
Well,
golf field course, right? Like, I don't know, is there a combination?
It isn't pesticides. Like they started going through, do you, I don't smoke. I'm not involved. I'm not around diesel. I am outside. I am among fertilizer and pesticides. But what we figured out it was is one of the things that I do, and I still do it, is I was using cryotherapy to get rid of the body pain. And that's basically being put in a tube at minus 220 degrees for 3 minutes.
Freezing the body, yeah, okay.
So I was freezing my body. Well, the initial machines used liquid nitrogen. In liquid nitrogen, one of the side effects of liquid nitrogen is benzene. So it was going through my pores. So I was
Ah,
actually,
so
well, I
you
was.
got this toxicity during your treatment journey. Interesting.
Yeah,
Okay.
didn't know it at the time because it
Right,
was
of
so
course.
new. Now the new machines now are different, where they are they refrigerate oxygen and put oxygen around your body, so
Okay.
it's different, so not a problem anymore. So they got the benzene out of my body. Then I still had I'm still showing positive, so she's like, well, let's try pulsing some more antibiotics and using some oral herbals to see if we can get the numbers down further. Well, we got to the point where I still had various strains still active in my body. So we took the next step to do SOT. Are you familiar with that at all?
I hear about it a lot, and I wasn't familiar. So I've recently had a couple practitioners on talking all about it. So yes, I am familiar with it now, but break it down to us, the
Okay.
process and how it was, and was that a new thing to you? Had you heard of it before?
Well, it's something that I was brought up to me regarding when we got to the point where I couldn't get better. I was kind of like stuck. I'm like, okay, I feel better, but I can't get it all out of my body.
Okay.
And I'll never get it all out of my body. I still have trace amounts in it, but it's under control. So the doctor said, she goes, hey, not inexpensive, but are you willing to give this a try? So the easiest way I can explain it to your listeners is basically they take your blood out of your body and they re-engineer it to basically get it to turn off the replication of Lyme in your bloodstream. So it's available in the United States for cancer, but it's not available for Lyme. So they have to send it to Greece. So it is a non-approved treatment in the United States. It's totally experimental. So it's done for each specific strain of Lyme. So I'd have to look in my notes to see the first strain they were working on. But I couldn't, my hands, I couldn't move, my hands would get stiff. I couldn't move my fingers very well. So and Bartonella, I had Bartonella in my fingers, in my extremities. So they said, okay, we're going to do it for Bartonella first. So they took blood out of me, sent it to Greece, re-engineered it, and then re-injected it back into my bloodstream. Very simple, relatively simple process, no side effects. I didn't have any side effects. And about 3 weeks, excuse me, 3 weeks later, I started to see I could move my hands. They
Okay.
weren't stiff, they weren't clicking back and forth, the joints weren't clicking. So I'm like, ooh, I got used to my hands back.
So that was no negative effects from
No
the
negative
SOT.
effects.
Okay. Just eventually, about 3 weeks later, you're okay. I'm noticing some
Yeah, I'm
things.
noticing, I obviously things are different. I'm
Okay.
noticing my hands, like my if I went, I couldn't open a water bottle. It'd be a good example. I didn't have the dexterity to open a water bottle. I still don't have feeling in my fingertips.
Really?
Yeah, it may never come back. So I've lost all the feeling in my fingertips. So I have trouble opening anything in cellophane, sugar packets, stuff like that.
Okay.
So the doctors, we did three cycles of SOT, each one for a different type of Lyme. The second two, while they didn't show any physical effects, when we ran the test got better to the point where she's like, hey, it's under control. We are now 2025. So 2024, February of 2024, they ran some tests and I get the report back and I'm now using Vibrant Wellness for my Lyme report.
Okay.
Came back and after all these years, I've gotten very good at reading the reports, usually better than the doctors. So I get the
We do.
report.
We become a doctor, a pharmacist, a therapist.
So it comes back and the first page is blank. And I'm like, that's weird. and start flipping through the report. Everything's under the threshold. So I'm in remission for all intents and purposes. And that was in 2024. In February 2024, I've now been in remission for 2 years. I have not
Wow.
taken an antibiotic in 3 years. It took a long time for my stomach to heal.
That was going to be my next question. So, because that's the big part of, I mean, there's a few reasons why I'm not an antibiotic fan when it comes to this, because antibiotics are designed for fast growing bacteria, right? Lyme is not fast growing. So that, and then you put your antibiotic in, and then all these biofilms want to build up and protect itself behind the cyst because the pathogens don't like it, right? So then a lot of people feel better. You quit the antibiotics, they can come out of hiding again. So, but you were taking the serrapeptase to break down those biofilms, which is great. But were you doing anything specifically for your gut along this while you were doing the antibiotics?
Eliminated sugar, eliminated, anything that had white sugar in it, bread, just eliminated certain things. Certain things I didn't like when we were going through it with the doctor. She's like, "Well, you can't have this." I'm like, "That's okay. I don't need it." And she goes, "You really don't eat a lot of the stuff that would create the inflammation and all the other things." I said, "Because I've had issues with joint pain and whatever, and you try to avoid
Because you have a
things."
90-year-old mom who's super healthy and raised you the right way,
And same thing, it's kind of like we don't eat anything that's processed.
Yeah,
You
that's
know, I,
huge.
yeah, I cook or she cooks, and I'm Italian, so we cook and we eat, but there's never anything that's, you're not buying processed food. I don't know, somebody's like, "Have you ever had whatever?" I'm like, "No."
Wow.
Trust me, I like a piece of chocolate cake as much as the next guy, but we kind of eliminated a lot
Everything
of.
in moderation, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that when I was first dealing with the lime, like the sugar, the easiest way for me to get my hands to feel like they were on fire was to eat anything with sugar in it.
Okay, so that was a no-brainer, right?
So like a handful of M&Ms, I know I'm going to pay for that because my hands would
Right.
feel like they were, I dumped them in, on fire. And
Right.
so it's like, okay, I know if I'm going to have that, I'm going to pay for it. So I just avoid it. And
I
after a
love it.
while,
And actually, I'm glad that you said that, Bob, because I want to stop you again for a second. So we often talk a lot about, maybe it wasn't as hard for you, right? Because you're a different breed, right? You just are
it's your
raised from your mom, but
it's the once again, it's like when people were, and I talk to them and they talk about the Herx responses, and you find out that they drink alcohol or they drink a lot of alcohol, or they eat a lot of processed food, or there's a lot of sugar in their diet, or they drink soda. And it's like, and I'm talking to my doctor and they're going, "Well, you have to stop drinking soda." It's like, "We don't drink soda."
I don't drink soda. Yeah. Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, it's kind of like, "Well, what are you drinking at home? Water."
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, "Well, dairy, you can't have any dairy products." I'm like, "I don't eat dairy products." I'm like, and they're
So
like, "Look,
you were
ma'am,
the
they."
easy patient when it
Well,
comes to
and I
that.
found out from the nurses that were treating me, and I was asking them, I said, there were people that were going through it and having all sorts of Herx responses. I go, "Why am I not getting really bad Herx responses?" They go, "Because your diet wasn't a mess."
Right. And so that was what I wanted to say. So I talk a lot about we have to change our diet, right? You got to get sugar. Everything feeds off of sugar. Lyme thrives off of sugar, right? Like sugar, dairy, gluten, gluten's very inflammatory, all of these things. And so I always say it doesn't mean it has to be forever, right? If that is not your lifestyle you choose to follow, eventually you will be able to get well and introduce these back into your diet if you so choose to. But my point of that was you said when you would eat sugar, you would physically feel the worsening of your symptoms. So, what I wanted to point out is we don't always feel that. So, if you're listening out there and you are unsure of whether or not that sugar you don't want to eliminate from your diet is affecting you, I could probably say it is. It's just you're not noticing the symptom from it, right? So that was why you said that and like, oh, you just nailed it, right? Because we don't always notice anything, but you did because your diet is so clean. So when you introduce something that was not good for you, your body reacted. And so it's very, very important to clean up our diet when we're in this journey. I get it. It's a hard journey. You can't do this, you can't do that. I can't work, I can't live, I can't do this, and now I can't eat my mac and cheese from a box. Like, you know what I mean? I get it. It's not easy, but it really is imperative to the healing process to get the toxins out of your body and just continue putting them in.
Yeah, you can still have your mac and cheese. You just have to spend a little bit more time making
Yeah, not out of the
it.
box.
Let's get out of the box. So that, the diet, making sure the diet's clean has definitely helped. I'm like everybody else. I enjoy a nice piece of chocolate cake every now and then, and I know I'm going to deal with the ramifications of having it. Those are choices. We make them every day. It's just that because I don't eat that often, I'll pay for it a little bit more.
Right,
Six of one,
right.
half dozen of another.
All in
So,
moderation.
right now, I only see my functional doctor once a year.
It's kind of a little follow-up, little checkup, I love it.
Basically, they just so they could run the blood tests formally because I need them to sign off. So, I usually go in January and they'll draw blood and we'll take a look at it. But I know how I feel. I know if
Yes.
I'm feeling crappy. I know if I'm feeling lethargic or whatever. It's been a 5-year journey. I mean, I know in talking with Jessica, she always asks, "How do I feel?" And I always say, on a percentage of where I was to where I'm at about 90% of what I used to be. Now, granted, I'm 5 years older, and
I was just gonna say the aging process didn't stop, right?
no, I'm 5 years older, but. I'm in the gym 5 days a week.
That's incredible.
And I know I'm all the muscle loss that I lost because of the wasting away of my I had more of my damage was on the left side of my body. So my left leg and my left arm, I lost use of for a while, and I was kind of dragging my left leg around. I've gotten all that muscle tone back in my legs. They're still not great. I still have some knee issues, which are probably more age related and arthritic, but I'm much stronger than I was. But I've made the commitment to get up at 10 after 5 every morning to go to the gym and have somebody
I
yell
love
at me.
it.
But I know I'm
Those
stronger.
are the choices we make. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And you know, those days that I don't get up at 5 to go to the gym, but I definitely go to the gym 4 days a week in the morning. And the days that, you know, sometimes Monday's hard, right? I have the weekend off, and I just remind myself, Tanya, you used to pray to God to just let him get out of bed. You have your life back a 1,000,000%. You feel 100% amazing. Get your lazy butt up out of bed and go to the gym. Like, it doesn't take long for us to, right, kind of trigger that mind. I have the capability of doing it. You gave me that capability that I prayed for, and I'm not going to let it go to waste.
I always make it, I have a commitment to somebody besides me to be there at 5:30 in the morning to have somebody, I have somebody waiting for me. And that's
There
my
you go.
commitment. And he's going to make sure that I do everything that this 62-year-old body will do.
Yep, I love it. You
You
do.
know?
You, and doing things in pairs like that really, really helps, right? Because, oh well, you know, I know for me on Mondays, I do an extra couple mile lap around the inside track with one of my girlfriends from the gym, just on Monday, just so we can chit chat, right? And if it's Monday, I'm like, oh shit, Audrey's gonna be there. I gotta get to the gym. So yeah, that accountability partner is always helpful.
But like one of the, this will be probably the best example. In March of 2020, I could walk 5 steps. We were actually looking at retrofitting the house for a wheelchair and wheelchair lift. Okay. In 2022, in August of 2022, I played golf in Scotland and walked every day and played 6 times. And I walked an average of 8 miles a day. And it was tough because I wasn't in physical shape after kind of going through everything. I took some of my members in August of last year, And my wife has been with us on both trips. She goes, not only did you walk every day, she goes, you didn't have any issues the following day where you were like, oh my God, my knees hurt or my back hurts. I go, no. And that's getting everything in line and making sure that, we're eating clean and I'm not putting toxins back in my body. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going, I wonder how my Lyme's doing. I'm not even worrying about it anymore. I know how I feel.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to take away because I get asked that a lot. People are like, "How do you know you're in remission?" And I said, "Well, for one, I initially did the Igenix is how I got my diagnosis, right? It's not cheap. It's expensive." And so then when I switched over to, integrative care, I started doing muscle testing. And so I've never done another blood test for Lyme disease. But after my 6 years of treatment and some of the other things that I have in my toolbox that I do, right? I have a strong foundation. I've worked through all the emotional side of everything. I am symptom free and have been for over 4 years. I don't treat with anything. I just live my life and I have no limits. There's nothing I can do. So am I in remission? Would it show on my blood? I really don't care. Right? Because I have my life back. I'm symptom free, and there's nothing I can do that runs my body down. In fact, I probably should slow down, right? Because now I think I'm Wonder Woman trying to wake up for 13 years of not having a life. But that's the fact. We have to, get that worry out of our head. We have tools in our toolbox. We know the things to look forward for. We know the things that we need to fuel our body with, the good things, right? We rest when we get tired. You just listen to your body. Your body really is like a temple, right? It will tell us when something is off. If you're having regular headaches, there's a reason for it, right? Like, what is the reason? Figure it out. Don't just let things go. And so I truly believe that if when we get well, if we do all the steps that we need to, including the emotional side of things, you keep a strong foundation or terrain, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to attack us again. It can't, right?
No, and I still take supplements now just to make sure that, I'm doing everything I can to keep my body in the
Yeah.
best
Because
situation
we're
possible.
aging. Like
We're getting old.
that's the natural thing. Exactly. That's a smart thing to do. Well, Bob, wow, this has just been an incredible testimonial from you on just resilience, right? And then just on your mindset and about how important it is to have hope. Because like you mentioned earlier in the show that you thought you had ALS. There is no hope for you. Unfortunately, there's just not. It's a matter of time, right? You get a Lyme diagnosis. You have hope. I can beat this, right? And so it didn't matter what you needed to do. You were hyper-focused on, I have hope. And that just is such a strong testament to how much having hope in this journey is going to get you well, right?
And also not necessarily listening to the doctors that are gaslighting you, saying it's in your head, or it's not what you think it is, because the ALS doctors still say there is no correlation between Lyme and ALS, and I'm calling bullshit.
Well, you're but
Because,
so then how did you get well from ALS in their
well,
eyes?
because there's no test for ALS. What it is, they rule things out, and that's one of the problems. Every year, the Philadelphia Phillies have an ALS event, and for some reason, we always end up with tickets to it. And they had a woman in the crowd the one day that had a sign that I've had ALS for 18 years. And my wife looks right at me. She goes, she's got Lyme.
I'm, yeah.
And the problem is that the ALS doctors pigeonhole you and say, this is all, this is it. We wrote a letter to my ALS doctors and said, you know what? We're going in a different direction. And you know what they said? Call us when you need us.
Wow.
Guess what? I haven't heard from them since.
Don't need it,
And
yeah.
I see the neurolo the neuro, head of neurology, and I still give him golf lessons, and he knows I'm better. And I
Yeah.
said, "You're a teaching hospital. Why isn't this? Why don't you go down this road?"
Yeah. No,
I
it is hard, and ALS is one of the many things that get misdiagnosed when it really is Lyme. And unfortunately, in the last, I had a friend, oh my gosh, it was long before I got sick. So I want to say probably in 2004-ish, he passed away of ALS. And of course, back then I didn't even know what Lyme disease was. But I had a recent friend in the last couple of years whose husband passed away of ALS. And I stressed to her multiple times that I really believe it's Lyme disease. And the response was, we've been tested. And I said, yes, unfortunately, these tests aren't correct. And they were just so medically done. I get it. It's
Yeah.
exhausting, but it's just sad. It's sad, but that's why we're doing what we're doing, right? Like,
Correct.
I have this podcast. You're sharing your voice, Bob, because people need to hear this. It is a real threat. It is a real thing. We are not always our diagnosis. So don't accept it. If you want to live, continue to fight. We understand that it is not an easy journey, right? It's we get exhausted. We get financially drained. We don't know who to turn to. We don't know who to believe. But all we do know, or is what I know, is if you want a proper testing for Lyme disease, you need to, of course, this is my opinion, you need to go to Igenix in California. You need to go to Armin Labs in Germany or Galaxy Diagnostics. There are a few other. Vibrant is pretty good with Lyme. I'm not confident in the co-infection part of it. So right now, those are the three that I personally recommend. If you have been tested before and you have a diagnosis of ALS or MS or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, I mean, the list goes on, right? Please just rule out that it's not Lyme by getting a proper test. All I say, we'll continue to yell it from the rooftops, won't we?
And hopefully, and people ask me that, I'm very willing to share my story, my information. If what I've gone through helps somebody find the right solution or the right path, and one more person, I get a phone call from and said, you know what? I got Lyme. I don't have ALS, or I don't have what, long term, the other one I hear a lot of is long term COVID.
Yes.
Because I had a guy that they said he had long term COVID, and through a friend of a friend, he reached out to me, and he went and got tested properly, and he goes, Bob, I got Lyme. I said, now
Yep.
hopefully you get treated, and you can start healing. But the other thing is that don't wait.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. It's like you said, you were fighting for 7 years, getting gaslit by doctors. I'm lucky. I had it before. I had some similar symptoms, so I'm like, okay, that's where we're going first. And
Yeah.
my wife remembered her friend, and
Yes,
that's where
thank
we
God.
went.
Because they shared their voice, right? It's all about sharing our voices, spreading the awareness out there. And we're not saying every case of ALS is Lyme disease, but I guarantee you there's a higher percentage of them that is, that isn't.
But if you take a look and see the incidence of ALS in the incidence of Lyme in the United States, and you take the maps and lay them on top of one another, really similar locations.
Yeah.
Why?
Yep,
And I
it's.
live in New Jersey, and it's filthy here for ticks.
Yeah.
So it's, and I, as I said, I got doctors that are at my club, and I've had a couple of them say, any more, if anybody gives me any of the symptoms because of what you went through, I immediately tell them, we're going to go have you need to go get tested. So
I love it.
even the doctors at the club are like, yeah, what you went through, we watched what you went through. And they go, you're lucky. It was 8 months from
Yeah.
when I started having symptoms to when I got a firm diagnosis. Everybody's not that lucky.
Right. But you are for sure a huge, huge asset in the advocacy in this Lyme community because you have these connections of these physicians, right, that are learning from your journey and you're sharing your voice. And so I truly thank you. Like, I'm so proud of you for being resilient and fighting back and not giving in and then sharing your voice. We need people like you in this community to help those that need help from. our community versus the doctors that are not giving proper diagnosis. So we live and learn from our stories and we teach from our stories. So I appreciate you for what you do in the community, Bob. And thank you again so, so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me on.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.